Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast from MEF on blockchain. It has been a while since our last one. We've been busy with some events and a big event, actually, where Daniele was involved as well. Thanks, Daniele. So we've been treasuring that content, but we have not covered so much stuff that has happened since. So, Daniele, you're here. Hello, Daniele.
Hey, thank you, Dario. Thanks for having me here.
Great. Thank you, and thanks for finding some time. We should squeeze so much in one podcast, and we cannot because we've got 15 minutes. But but first, I would like to catch up on at least one big topic that has happened in the last few weeks. Well, it's not just a topic; it's a company, it's a topic, it's news, it's everything. It's Coinbase. Okay, let's start from somewhere. Daniele, tell us, what's Coinbase?
So Coinbase, for those that are not dealing with cryptocurrencies, or as I like to say, digital assets, it's an exchange platform where you can buy, sell, you can trade digital assets like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and provide on-ramp and off-ramp services, like, for example, exchanging your euro with Bitcoin directly and the other way around. And also they provide institutional grade custodian services. This means if you want to put your asset under custody, they have a custodian license in the US for which your digital assets, let's say you buy $1 billion worth of Bitcoin, and you don't want to deal this, you don't want to store this 1 billion worth of Bitcoin in a kind of USB key, because you might be kind of worried about the consequences if you lose the key or if you're has been compromised. So you ask Coinbase to provide custodian services and to keep your asset under their custody with safety and with a full insurance policy. So, and Coinbase is the first digital asset provider, is the first digital exchange on a crypto planet to be ever listed on a publicly traded stock exchange.
Well, that's great. So at this point, I say something you remind people all the time. We're not here to give financial advice. We're looking at the technology and the business that are powering new ideas. But however, as you were talking about myself, obviously, you talk about somebody having to invest $1 billion in blockchain, which is I happen to do every other week, I'm sure.
Yeah, we do dollar cost average every second week, actually.
Every second week, a few billions here and there. But whether it's billions or maybe much less, a lot of people look at these with excitement over all the trading, but there's also a risk. I mean, I would be considering myself, how do I keep this key safe? But similarly, is Coinbase safer than something else? How do you trust them?
Well, it's difficult to assess, the level of risks of any platform, because at the end of the day, this it depends very much on your own judgment. So I'm emphasizing all the time, this is not, to any standpoint, financial advice whatsoever to trade any type of stock or to buy or sell any type of cryptocurrency. So we are just, explaining what's going on within the tech landscape and providing our best of knowledge into the concerned topics. So coming back to your question, how do you assess the risk? Can you trust a platform like Coinbase? Well, let's say right now, Coinbase is the first mover. So it's the first crypto asset exchange which have embraced the kind of regulatory framework, starting with virtual assets like Bitcoin, and trying to obtain as much as they can U.S. licenses to allow also institutional investors to invest into so-called alternative assets like Bitcoin. So in fact, probably you have seen there's a lot of money that came from a publicly traded company in the US. The first one was back in October last year. I don't remember exactly the date. MicroStrategy, a company run by Michael Saylor. And they invested, I think, $3.3 billion worth of Bitcoin across several rounds. And this is a publicly listed company. So, and obviously a publicly listed company that cannot purchase assets to whatever exchange. So they have to make sure when they purchase, all the process and all the due diligence is done properly. So I would say what gives us confidence in platforms like Coinbase is that so big institutional, so Tesla, just to name another one, Square, and other companies like JP Morgan, so in the finance space, they are now buying Bitcoin. And most of the time, this happens via Coinbase. So this means Coinbase right now, from an institutional standpoint, it's a very reliable platform. From a retail standpoint, it depends very much on what is your, you know, kind of risk appetite, because there are people that criticizing the fact that Coinbase created kind of an institutional servicing approach. Because Bitcoin or a crypto maximalist, they don't like too much the fact that it's someone else put your asset under custody. So at the end of the day, Bitcoin and other assets allow you to store your assets into your wallet without any man in the middle, without any intermediary. So it depends. So if you want to sleep safe and you want to think about your USB key somewhere, and so you might, let's say, outsource the fact that someone is holding your Bitcoin. But in crypto, there is the rule that the owner of a coin is the one that owns the private key. So in that case, if you put your funds under custody to an exchange, the exchange holds the private key, so the exchange owns the funds. So if you trust the exchange, so you allow them to put your asset under custody. If you don't trust, then you use your own custodian solution. So this means you store under your key and that's it. So it's much more, that's very, you know, it's an individual judgment whether you trust or not a centralized exchange, or you want to play in a fully decentralized manner and put your asset under your own custody, under your own responsibility and under your own risks. So you have the choice.
You have the choice. You're saying, If you're a true believer in the Bitcoin, you don't want anybody in the middle. Hence the great value of Bitcoin. Some people out there might want something in between, and they just rely on, you know, brokers, etc. And so they'll go to Coinbase, for instance, or many others. I mean, you can use some of the banks out there by now to do it. I got a number just in case we forgot some of the numbers for people listening. I'm reading out. The listing on NASDAQ, so here it is, Times Square, big monitor in New York, displays, pretty official. And the official listing was $75.9 billion. So we're talking about a proper legitimacy of a Bitcoin world in any case. These are big numbers.
Yeah, I mean, it depends how you calculate, but it's something in the region of 80 to 85 billion valuation. In the stock market debut on last Wednesday. So in fact,
Wednesday, if we just say we're recording these on Friday 23rd.
Last Wednesday, yeah, Wednesday the 14th of April, yeah. for clarity. Yeah. So so the initial share price was approximately $250 per share, and it opened up at $381. So it spiked. And it rose up to $430 per share in the first few minutes. And then at the end of the session, it went back to $328. So, and again, what is interesting is that, so first of all, it's one of the few companies that is starting trading. So it started their public offering by being profitable. So because in Q1 2021, they generated $1.8 billion in profit, which is pretty, it's pretty awesome.
Which is pretty amazing, yes.
Yeah, so they have 7.2 annualized revenue and annualized profits, so which is pretty cool for a brand new company. And and they make money, for those that are not familiar, or how do they make money? So they make money with fees. So in Coinbase, they have two brands, Coinbase.com and pro.coinbase.com, which is the pro, the professional version of Coinbase.com website. Obviously, most of the revenues come from Coinbase.com, so which is the, let me say, the retail. The retail platform, where the fees are higher, and people buying, for example, a few hundred dollars worth of Bitcoin, and they're paying, you know, for the industry, insane fees, because, you know, the average fee in the crypto space is about 0.25% on the trades. So, for example, you want to sell $1,000 in exchange of Bitcoin, so you pay 0.25%. So, which is, if you want to buy 100, so you pay 25 cents. Out of this trade. So that's the average fee. And Coinbase.com, they charge higher. So for the entry, so for the retail clients. But then if you are a pro, so you're familiar with a professional interface, so you pay lower fee. And depending the amount you trade, you pay lower and lower. So essentially the $1.8 billion worth of revenues in Q1 2021 comes from fees, mostly from fees, originated from trades of trading cryptocurrencies across their all the pairs they list into their platform.
Yeah. Okay, so lots of parallel I can find immediately there. So that really seems like the old traditional shares and funds way. I mean, there are different platforms, and if you go and right now you have to buy it through somebody, but different prices, etc. And that's your intermediary. And back to your first comment, de-intermediarized.
Decentralized.
Blockchain, you now have some intermediaries coming to make service to the retail easier. So there is a bit of irony there. But also, I should say, because we're talking about the 1.8 billion profits, but it's also true that, you know, it's easier to do profit in this kind of element when you have lots of trades and, you know, high valuation generate lots of trades. But for the last few years, crypto has not been so hot. And then in that time, they were also producing losses. So there might be a cyclicality with that, sure, for Coinbase, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, this year, so Q1 is absolutely, you know, mind blowing in terms of volumes, and they report 56 something million clients to their platform, which is pretty awesome. And I mean, volumes are going higher because they're listing more and more assets to their platform. And what is interesting is, first of all, is the first platform in the space to be publicly listed. There might be others to come, but definitely they are the first. So that's why it's interesting. Valuation, it's crazy. You know, it's mind blowing. Because if you calculate how this company is being evaluated according to traditional measurements to evaluate a stock, so using, you know, PE ratio, revenue multipliers, something like this. You end up in numbers that you don't find any type of comparable on planet Earth. So the PE ratio, so which is the price to equity ratio, so price to earnings, sorry, ratio, which is how much you pay for a dollar of earning, in the case of Coinbase, was above 200. So in the stock market, usually you pay between 10 and 25. I'm saying some average number for a stock. As a price per earning. So in the case of Coinbase, it was 10 times higher, kind of a reference price point. So this means, so Coinbase, to me, it will be one of the first example of something bigger and new that is going to happen, which is all these new digital asset platform, which sits down at the intersection of exponential growth trajectories, mm-hmm, having astonishing and mind-blowing valuations according to completely brand new metrics that we ever seen before. And step number two, what is interesting to mention, is that they use the same approach as, for example, Spotify, when they listed to Nasdaq, which is using the direct listing. So meaning they didn't do the IPO manner, but they directly list. So this means they had a pool of share and they have some vested share. So the shareholders and the initial investors of a company, they have some vested shares that they could eventually offer for sale at the direct listing in order to provide market liquidity. So, and this is what happened. Actually, they provide a certain amount of share to be purchased by the market at the listing time, and these shares were offered into the direct listing. So at the end of the day, the price was set by the market directly, but not by, as in the case of an IPO, by the underwriter. So, which is typically a bank, an investment bank, and trying to maximize their profit by trying somehow to push the price as high as possible and then eventually later to dump the price. So, but again, this is not the financial advice or whatever practice that has been used here, because that was a direct listing. So Coinbase shareholder sold a chunk of their shares directly to the public market, and the market purchased this share at a very high price. And there was a lot of speculation about the fact that founders were dropping shares at the time of listing, but this is the way how direct listing works. So essentially, someone has to sell for someone else to buy. Otherwise, there's no trade.
There's no market. There's no trade. Well, okay, we almost are at the end of our 15 minutes or so for entertaining some of our listeners and so on. But I cannot, stop and ask you, what does it mean? So what's your point? I mean, we touched on first is, I would say, is this a real legitimacy, if you want to mean, are we found a proper role? I mean, now that we have a proper Nasdaq company for a big for blockchain and coins transactions and bitcoins, etc. But the second question is this role of an intermediary. I also say, what's your point on that? So lots of things seems to be very significant here with Coinbase. It's only one news, it's only one company, but it seems to represent a lot. So Daniele, what do you think, what does it all mean apart from Coinbase? What's happening with these?
We are sitting down in a kind of network effect business, which is what is fascinating me the most. So crypto land as a whole is growing 50% year on year right now. So if you only think how many Bitcoin wallets there are in circulation, active wallets, we're talking about approximately 100 million people that have purchased Bitcoin and have Bitcoin in the wallet, approximately 100 million, and it's growing 50% year on year. So this means by 2025, 2026, there will be 1 billion users of crypto or digital assets. So this means this is a market that is growing exponentially. So Coinbase obviously is the first, but the whole industry is growing massively. Okay. So obviously, what is interesting is to see how much is going to grow. And again, I'm only interested by adoption metrics. I don't really, let me say in brackets, care about the price of Bitcoin, whether it's going higher or down, because the price, it measures also sentiment of a market. Is not necessarily a true indication about whether the market or whether an industry is healthy or not. Much more utilitarian to this point. So to me, the industry is growing massively, and Coinbase is at the intersection between users and assets as a whole. And all the money is going to embrace new digital assets, whatever they are. I'm not saying Bitcoin, and players like Coinbase, they are at the intersection of this growth trajectory. So I welcome very much to see the growth of players like Coinbase over the next 3-4 years, regardless of the increase or decrease in price of the Bitcoin. So I'd like to see how this guy's growing, even in case the market is bullish. So meaning price going down and they keep on increasing the revenues because they offer also other type of services. I'm very curious to see how they keep on growing while price moves up and down.
Well, curiosity is what we're here for. we'll come back and we'll check that from time to time. For now, Daniela, thanks again for joining us on this chat, and can't wait until the next one. Who knows what's going to happen in blockchain?
There's a lot to talk about. Yeah.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.